listening to the Jack Wagon Podcast.
Oh, good for you!
Featuring Chad Roper and Drew Cobb from Cool 94's Rope and Drew in the Morning.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. You know, morons.
Oh.
This podcast is unsuitable for small children and girly soy boys.
They whine about anything. You pull down their pants and you spank their ass.
What is these animals?
Them ones that eat snakes, huh?
Let's get it all!
Welcome to the Jack Wagon Podcast.
Hey, it's number 8, Jack Wagon Podcast. Rope, Drew over there, and
Josh Barnett.
Josh Welcome, Barnett sir. Joining the Jack Wagon Podcast,
yeah, man.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
So you're on fall break.
Yeah.
And the first thing you think to do bright and early on the first day is get up and play f***ing soccer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they said 10 a.m. I wanted to go at like 8, honestly.
Crazy, man.
Not even lying.
Are you a
first
soccer
of all, are
guy?
You even an
I
American?
Love soccer.
You're
dude,
like, you're
so
not
much.
Even an American if
I call
you,
it
if you like soccer.
And it makes the coaches up there so pissed off.
But do you spell it F-U-T-B-O-L?
No, I spell it American football.
Except it's not.
F-O-O-T-B.
Except football, yeah. There's pads.
And on, the, like helmet shaped like a lemon.
In American football, yeah, yeah. There is, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So you played soccer, whatever, since you were a kid or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, since 3. It's like the first sport you can like play out here. And started playing at 3 and like loved it. Never disliked that sport.
Are you from out here or what?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I was born here in, I guess I was born in 87. And wait, spent my whole life
you're not
here.
Too old to have to guess at when you were born.
No, man.
Born.
We just missed each other. I moved to Elk City in 2005, the year after you graduated.
Yeah, that's the year I graduated. So 05, I was still in Elk City from 05 to like 06.
Mm-hmm.
I did a year at Sarah and had a like 0.5 GPA after
yes.
a first like one semester.
Yes, dude.
way to go, professor.
Yeah, you know.
That's exactly what I did, man. I kept my GPA just right above what it needed to be or right at what it needed to be to stay in my fraternity.
It was such
that was
a
like 2.1 or something like that. It was bad. I didn't have a good one.
But you were born out here or what?
Yeah. Spent my whole life out here. And in 06, I guess I was flunking out of JUCO working at Schlumberger and two Army recruiters walked into the cafeteria in Sarah and I was studying for a test. I was going to flunk, you know?
Oh yeah.
And I was like, okay, now's the time, you know, the war in Iraq was surging.
So
Band of Brothers, the show had come out.
That was a killer series,
was,
by
oh, yeah.
the way.
So awesome.
So who approached who?
I went up to them.
You went up to them.
And I was like, I want to join the Army. I knew I always wanted to. Like my, you know, it's embedded throughout my family history.
Okay, yeah. You so know? a lot of people
so
in your family. Yeah.
I'm like, there's a war kicking off, going off, really, you know.
So what, we went into Iraq in 2003 or 4?
03.
So this was a couple years into
it. It was a big surge right when I joined.
Yeah.
Guys
yeah.
were getting, you're getting like 20,000 sign on bonus for 3 years.
Was that also with like the Dodge Charger or the, what was it? You could get either a Dodge Charger or a Mustang or
I
something.
I missed out on that. The recruiter didn't tell me about that, man.
You did miss out.
I didn't
out,
know
dude.
About yeah. that.
They were giving so, it was crazy money. Crazy money how much they give just guys off the street.
Okay, so wait a minute. So you graduated high school and then.
I was like, hey, I want to go to the Army. I want to jump out of, I want to be airborne infantry. That was my thing. I was like, that's what I want to do.
Really? Wow.
They're like, all right, take this practice ASVAB. Took the practice ASVAB, scored pretty high or like pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then went and took the real one in Oklahoma City. And I'm a terrible test taker. I don't have good test stamina.
Okay.
Ended up scoring where I qualified for 99% of the jobs the Army had to offer.
That's awesome.
Which is like 213. They offered at the
MOSs.
Time. MOSs. Like yeah, MOS. Yeah.
So did
and
you?
I was like,
you,
I want to jump out of the planes. I want to shoot bad guys in the face.
What is the man? Problem with all these people we get in here? He's number 3. Has been like, you know what? I aspire to jump out of perfectly good airplanes. Yeah. He's number 3 that's been in here that's done that. So did you do that?
Yeah, I did that. Ended up getting assigned to after like you know training. Got assigned to the 172nd Striker Brigade in Fairbanks, Alaska, Fort Wainwright, Alaska. So I went straight from, you know, here to Georgia, right to Alaska, and got assigned to my unit who was already in Iraq. Yeah. And the 425 out of Fort Richardson in Anchorage were taking people to go fill in for the last 3 months or so of their deployment. So did that for 3 months and then back and forth.
Let's pause you right there real quick, because you bring up Alaska, which makes up probably 50% of the content that's on the Discovery Channel and Travel Channel, right. Like based in Alaska, whether they're crab fishing or chopping down trees or whatever. What did you think about Alaska? I loved it.
Like Fairbanks is in the Arctic Circle. It's like where the Arctic dips down.
Like Santa Claus is your neighbor.
Yeah. North Pole, Alaska is actually a little bit further south than Fairbanks.
So which pole has the penguins, north or south? North or south? Only one of the poles has penguins.
I think it's the south, man.
The emperor penguins.
Because here's the difference. Here's what I didn't know until then. The Arctic, A-R-C-T-I-C, yeah, is the north, and the Arctic, A-R-T-I-C, is south.
You know how many people out there probably have no idea that Arctic crazy. And Arctic I are two no different idea. Things? Because I didn't even know that till you just said it. I thought Arctic was just a brand of a cooler.
No. The Arctic.
I have been saying Arctic. I've been correcting. It's not Arctic, man. It's Arctic.
If you're in the South Pole, it's the Arctic.
It's Arctic and Arctic.
I didn't know that.
It depends on where you're at. I didn't know this.
If you're, because you can get your
the
Arctic
things
tab.
You learn
this
doing
is,
radio.
This is why I suggested we bring him on, because he's like me in that he knows a lot of stuff that may or it's may not necessarily help you in life. But
so go back to like when you graduated high school. I played soccer
my whole life, you know, and like wanted to play in college and.
Well, so that was your real thing. You're like, I want to go to college on a soccer ride.
Yeah, I wanted to play soccer. And
I'll be honest, man, that was my favorite. That was my sport.
Oh, I love it.
Soccer.
Really, dude?
Heck yeah. As a matter of fact, when I was like seven or eight years old, I'll never forget this. There was this park that we practiced at all the time. It was either Putnam Heights or Gatewood, right?
Okay.
But we practiced at a park that's right there on Klassen and like 36th. Mm-hmm. And one day, a guy who played with Pele from Brazil, he gave us a clinic one day. I'll never forget it, man. And I thought, and that's when I'm going to learn how to do that overhead. I don't even know what
to
call it.
You know what Bob Marley says about soccer?
What?
No.
He said he loves it. I'm paraphrasing.
I pegged him for more of a hacky sack kind of guy.
I'm paraphrasing
here. He was.
But he called it the beautiful game because for 90 minutes... you could just forget about everything.
Nice. Kind of like me and Chad on our Jack Wagon podcast.
Yes.
And here is the sound that I've been waiting for all day long. It's officially 5 o'clock, by the way.
Oh, nice. Well, yes. 5:06, but
I'm
who's
living through
enough?
You right now.
Fair enough.
So you wanted to go play soccer and when did it occur to you that that's not happening?
A 0.5 GPA, you know, like just lack of really just the lack of energy output overall, you know,
plus, you're not chiseled up like, you know, the David statue and
I mean, I knew at 18 out of high school, I could go play soccer somewhere. I was getting more looks to go play football.
Really?
American football, you know?
And yeah.
So were you playing football in school also?
Yeah,
he was good.
In high school, I ran the 4x1 in track. We should have won state, you know, like one of those things. Mm-hmm. Brandon Jones. Yep. I don't know if you know Brandon Jones.
Matt's brother.
Pulls his hamstring. He's our anchor leg. Pulls his hamstring at state, you know, and Weatherford goes by. It seemed like nothing. And here I am with a 0.5 GPA. And I'm like, okay.
All right. Army recruiters. I thought you were bullshitting. So no. You really had a .5
GPA.
How did that happen?
I was a first generation college student. I didn't know that.
Oh, that was when you went to college.
Yeah,
that's when you went.
If I'm flunking a class, I didn't know to get the W before, you know, like withdraw.
You can't graduate high school with a 0.5 GPA.
No, not at all.
I'm like, there's a GED in here somewhere. Okay, so you're talking about
my
college.
First semester of college. That's what I had at the end of it. And the Army was like,
way to kick ass.
Yeah. The Army's like, hey, just don't do your second semester and join.
So did you earn like some kind of a party nickname or did you just seriously suck that bad at college?
No, I just didn't go.
How'd you do on your ACT? I bet you did high on it.
With the test stamina, I think I really legitimately like was focused for about half of each section.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think I scored maybe like a 18, 17, 18.
See, I would imagine
that just blows my mind.
I would imagine you did better than that because I'm not very smart. I did a 24.
Oh, nice.
I did it like three times though. The first two times I did it, I got a 20.
See, I took it once and yeah. I was like, this, no.
When you say test stamina, what are you talking about? Just really quickly.
Just being able to stay focused, man.
Yeah. Okay, that's all it is.
Yeah, and I had no idea until I took general psychology at UCO, my like second or third semester there.
I graduated high school in 1990, and I had about as much direction as a goose, okay? I didn't give a shit, except I got to be done with school. And I think in 98 or 99, I was like, well, this is not working out the way I thought this whole rock band thing was gonna.
I'm like really not having a good time right now.
Yeah. And so I decided, all right, I'm going to go do some college stuff. And I had zero direction then, but I decided that I'm going to go do this. And so I was hooked up with this chick and she knew about all the steps to take. Well, you got to go take the ACT or whatever the thing is. And so I took that, got a 23 and I went, okay, done.
That's pretty good.
That's awesome though. I mean,
yeah, like, I was like, okay, you sure?
There's something about living a few years in life that like, even if you're not in, you know, education or academia, you just learn stuff. Like,
it's so funny how you're such a, you know, a poor student, but then you end up being a teacher.
That's the funniest shit ever.
Then I loved
those that don't do teach.
Not so much. Yeah, exactly.
It took like 2 years
for me to care even about my undergrad.
Yeah.
You know, like 2 years into, I went right from the Army to college. And the Army, here's what someone.
So how many, you did 4 years?
I'll tell you this.
Did you do 4 years?
Eight. So I did five active.
So you
but then you do three like inactive reserve, yeah. Like basically before a draft, they call all of the inactive reserve.
Yeah.
Cause whatever your contract is, it doesn't matter. You're signing 8 years.
Ooh.
So if you do however many years active, like 3 years active, you're still inactive reserve for 5 years.
So like the minimum you can commit to is eight.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? I thought it was only like 4 years.
That's what I thought.
That's your active.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You're
so you
have,
okay. So you,
so ha- you're right, signing you. Up for 8 years.
That's interesting.
They sneak it in there. They'll tell you about it, you know? Hey, okay. So 4 years, 5 years of active duty where you're in uniform every day, that's your job. And then the rest of the 8 years is inactive reserve.
So what if you're in the, yeah. Okay. I was going to say, what if you go straight into the National Guard or reserve or Army Reserve or whatever? What if you go straight into that? What's
like the reserve?
Or yeah. I mean, is that an 8 year commitment as well?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I don't know about the National Guard. The National Guard's different. They wear the U.S. Army tag. So I imagine it's the same.
So you do your first semester in college where you get
Tank it.
Yeah. And so was it at the end of that first semester? Did you go a whole year before you were like,
I remember enrolling in my second semester under academic probation.
Yeah.
And in that first, you know, 9 weeks of that semester, that's when the Army recruiters walked in.
We can save you from your misery.
Join the Army.
Well, you can do this and then you give us a little bit of your time and then we'll stick you in college or something like that. Was that part of that deal?
I had no idea the benefits that were available because I wanted to leave so bad.
Leave what?
Just Elk City.
Working at Schlumberger.
Yeah. You know, dating the high school sweetheart that.
Oh yeah. We just talked about this morning,
man. I was like, man, this is not it.
This was not my plan. Okay. So you did that, joined the Army. You went and did your thing.
Mm-hmm.
You got stationed in, would you say Fairbanks,
Alaska.
And then from there you went over to the Middle East.
Yeah. I went to the Middle East for three months, came back, to Alaska. And I think we were there about a year because those guys had a rough deployment. They had a 12-month deployment. They started shipping guys back towards the end of the deployment. You have several, waves of soldiers coming home.
Mm-hmm.
There were guys already home and they extended the deployment of that unit.
Oh.
another 3 months.
Oh.
So guys had to go back to, from Alaska, back to Iraq for another 3 months.
Oh, that's a nightmare, dude.
What was that like? So you didn't have to do that, but no, you...
They hated the new guys coming in. Because you come in for 3 months, you get a combat patch, you know. Like,
what's the slang term for the new guy?
FNG? There's FNG, yeah. There's a cherry, there's a there's a good grief.
The FNG was the one they coined in Vietnam, right?
Yeah, that's the one that I've heard, but I wouldn't know any of the other ones.
Then like a turd in the army never has your back is the Blue Falcon. The buddy
So you did your army stuff and then
got to play soccer too. That's what kind of comes full circle.
Is it kind of like
everywhere I went? Well, we played soccer
like an intramural deal or
okay. Cause I was in a brigade, which is about 2000 soldiers, give or take. And within the brigade, you know, it's like a little city. You've been on an army base. It's like a little city.
Yeah.
So, in Alaska, you have to play all your sports in the summer, which is only like
not very long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From breakup in late April, mid April to that first snow you could get it in September.
Right.
Most likely October. You just cram as much summer stuff as you can.
You were up there by where like daylight would last for,
That's what I was going to say.
20 hours or 22 hours or something like that. Yeah. Right.
Were you there for the 20 days of darkness or whatever it is? 30 days of darkness
No, not where you'd have to go further.
Like the vampire movie. What do they call those people?
Even further north.
What do they call them though? It's not vampires. They made a movie, but what is it? Not zero dark 30, but
I don't,
it's like Alaskan vampires that come out whenever the darkness comes.
No, the sunlight, like at the winter solstice is December 21st, which is the longest night, you know?
Yeah.
And on December 21st, you might have the sun will hit the horizon, maybe peak the trees. Oh, maybe.
So it's kind of doing the,
and it just does that.
Oh,
okay. I'm dreaming of a black Christmas.
So were you up there far enough north where you could see the aurora and this kind of stuff? Aurora, what was that like the first time you saw that stuff?
It was honestly the first time I really saw it, because you could kind of see greens a lot. They're kind of faint. But when the first time I really saw them dancing, I mean, it was negative 30 outside and I'm just like, I can't leave this.
I've smoked a ton of Northern Lights. I've never seen the Northern Lights, and that's definitely a bucket list item for sure.
So what gave you the bug to do college for real and actually achieve just marginally higher than that 0.5 grade point average?
Yeah. It was hard. The first year I did really good. I had all A's. Then that second year,
lost your motivation.
Yeah, I lost it.
And where were you at? Where were you going to college?
I was at UCO.
Oh, okay.
So I was put on academic.
When were you probation. There?
I got out. I served. I got out of my active duty. My first year there would have been fall of 2011, maybe.
You were going to UCO when I was going to SWASU, when me and Walton were going to SWASU. That's right.
Because I roomed with Walton.
Yeah, right.
When he went to UCO.
Yeah, right. Good times, man.
So you did you got your teaching degree at UCO?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's actually in creative writing. It's in, English creative writing is my undergrad. And then same for my master's.
Yeah. Wow. So when did you get the bug to start teaching and stuff?
My junior, my third or fourth year as an undergrad, I took a class a couple times before that called publishing the literary journal. And it's a student ran class where the end product is their literary journal. They print it every semester. And it's all student ran. They take, you know, hundreds of submissions of poems and short stories and plays and whatever, you know, art, and they'll compile a journal. And I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And they ran it kind of, you know, like a studio where you can work your way up. I ended up staying in the class and was editor in chief, which is like you're kind of teaching your peers. And I was like, oh man, I like this, you know? So I applied.
So you kind of stumbled into it by doing that thing.
So you haven't always liked writing and reading? You haven't always had an act for it? Because I've read like stuff that you've wrote, and he's a very, very talented writer, Chad.
Like the writing, I could never like come up with my own stuff that I liked.
Yeah.
So I would just write song lyrics that were already existed.
Yeah.
So I worked on my penmanship. So I like to brag about my penmanship.
You're very good with imagery and adjectives. He's very good.
Yeah. So, okay, wait a minute. You actually worked on the physical act of writing.
I write cursive, and that's why I hate the AB schedule right now, because our daily work in my class is to write in a physical journal. And it's their own journal. And no one else can read it, and that's your journal.
Can you write in calligraphy?
That's what I was going to ask.
What do you call
and where
that?
Do you like weigh
a plume?
In?
A plume pen or whatever?
I like the quill pens, but the calligraphy, I've gotten it gift. I have a set gifted to me. I still haven't opened. Never tried it.
That seems like an art all in its own to do that.
So in the year 2020, where do you weigh in on the value of writing in cursive? Because you know, whenever we were all in school, like you weren't even allowed to write like in print until you were in high school. Like,
I don't know. I think we have to preserve it for the aliens, you know?
Do you make your class write in cursive?
I don't make them write in cursive. Like the only time they physically write is in their journals, and it's the first 10 minutes of class. So I haven't seen their own handwriting yet, which is different from the other 2 years that I've been to Elk City, because I've always had them write and then they'll turn something in. But just them being in class, if you're writing in your journal, cool, you got the participation points for the day.
Okay, now be honest. Are there any students that you have that kind of intimidate you and you're like, wow, they write as good or maybe better than I do? You know, like, do you ever feel like you're getting showed up by like a 16, 17 year old kid?
Not yet. Hey, not yet.
Don't f this up, Barnett.
Not yet. Honestly, though, your daughter's a really good writer.
Really?
She's
Dara?
Really good writer.
She's very artistic. That's for sure.
Yeah. She's not like the other kids.
And I don't know if you know her friend Jamie Music.
He is at my house right now.
He's a brilliant writer as well.
These two are tight, man.
Yeah.
Are they D&D partners?
No. They're like two peas in a pod.
Like peas and carrots.
Taught
her how to dangle.
Yeah, they're friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's over there right now.
That's cool.
What were Such you doing something that just all of a sudden went pop? I'm pretty good at writing, not necessarily the physical act of it, but just your creative writing thing.
Taking creative writing classes and sitting in a workshop type of environment where there's 10 other writers. Okay, here's the assignment: write a short story, write a poem. Everybody brings your poems and everybody's going to read it out loud, and you sit there and they talk about it.
Ooh, that's pressure.
And
right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Especially when you have, you know, graduate students in there, people who are published in there and working to like find their big break, and you're like, here's my stuff, you know, like, so please be gentle.
So what's your favorite style of writing? Poetry, fiction?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I really like the short story, like in just one setting. I want to be able to read something in one setting. I loved poetry. I focused
That sounds
on poetry.
Typical for your personality, though. Yeah. You just said you have piss poor focus as it relates to testing. And so you need something that's kind of.
That's why Poe was so successful.
And that's why TED Talks are only 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
Edgar Allan Poe. Yeah, that's right. He was the king of the short story. He'd give you nightmares in about 20 pages.
Yeah, that's crazy. And he was the first one to really start making money on it. Like his journals are, he is very explicit. I'm writing to make money.
Is he your favorite writer?
No.
Or one of your favorite writers?
Yeah, he's up there. Like his time, the American Renaissance. Yeah.
Let's start. Who are our favorite authors/writers? We'll start with Josh.
I'm going to have to cliche it out and say Walt Whitman.
Ooh, that's very good. Chad?
Samuel Taylor Coleridge.
Ooh, very, very good. My favorite book is The Old Man and the Sea. So obviously.
Can't name the author. Hang on.
Come on, man.
Old Man and the Sea. It's not Come on, man. You know, I was at the academic meet.
The manliest,
and this was
manliest
one of the
writer of all time.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it's got to be...
It's Ernest Hemingway, bro. Okay. The Old Man in the Sea. It's my favorite book of all time. It's a short story, actually, I think, because it only takes like a couple hours to read.
It's definitely a short story.
You know, I do like Mark Twain, though. I always loved him because I wanted to be Huck Finn.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to be this kid. I want to go fishing in the Mississippi River. I want to live right down there by it. I want to do all this stuff. I want to use the N-word loosely.
Was that you, Chad?
Nah.
That was a joke, by the way. I wasn't trying to make that racial. Like, I was just calling Chad racist.
Be honest here. Yeah, I wanted to be Huck Finn or Tom Sawyer or that. So I really dug the way he wrote. You know, it was so realistic. You know, but
whitewash a fence then.
Seriously, I loved the band Rush, right? And I was fascinated with some of the lyrics. I was like, where the hell is this guy getting all of this stuff? Mm-hmm. I'm reading the lyrics to this tune called Xanadu, right? And
is that the one where the lasers hit you?
That's the one, man.
So, tell the story, Chad. Tell it.
Happened because of Rush for me. But I was in high school and I was looking at not graduating, right? I just about quit, and really my senior year, the only thing I needed to do was pass English, because I earned enough credits hacking my way through schools in Mustang to basically piss off my way through my senior year at Dell City. But I had to do this term paper, and I eeny, meeny, miny, mowed it. And I was like, I don't know, I'll do something tomorrow. So I'm reading the lyrics to this Rush tune, Xanadu, and I was like, I found out the drummer, of course, he was the guy that wrote all the lyrics. He was a poet all on his own. He's published several books in his life.
Neil Peart. Yeah.
But the lyrics to that song, I remember reading that it was based on this poem that was written by this guy, and the poem was called Kublai Khan. Kublai Khan. Okay. Right. So I researched enough of that, and I was like, and I read this thing, and it blew my mind how this guy wrote. And he clearly spoke in old English,
right?
But the guy was just troubled, and he was an opium addict. And so he'd get all f***ed up and then start writing shit. It was just the weirdest thing ever. Geez. But then you start finding out that not only was he an influence for Rush, but also Iron Maiden. Well, I was into Iron Maiden. I was like,
oh yeah, dude.
Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
You were so hardcore. Dude. Chugga.
Well,
I think the hardest music for me is like Korn, Slipknot, like growing up.
Well, man, it's kind of the equivalent.
Okay.
But there's an album, Power Slave, man, Rhyme of the Ancient Mariners on there. And I was a sophomore. So between my sophomore and junior year, I would go every year to DC, Washington, DC. And
this I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence.
I watched that the other night.
So, honestly, I love that movie.
I watched it the other night. Talk about a great piece of literature, man.
Yeah, wow.
Right. So I'm just where I took this tape with me, Power Slave. It just wore it out. This is Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. I got to where I was so into the music, but I'd listened to it so much. Yeah. I started listening to the lyrics more. I was like, what is he saying?
That's why I think I was
that
writing
is
the
another
song
Samuel
lyrics,
Taylor so Coleridge reference. I was like, this dude is all over the place. So I did my term paper over Samuel Taylor Coleridge, and I paid a chick to type it for me. And it was only because she was a shitty typist that I got a B.
Yeah, because it was believable.
Well, I mean,
interesting.
Yeah,
you gotta
make some flaws in it to make it look realistic, though. Because if you put out something that's
sure
too good,
hey, I would be happy with a B. Except for when I was in grad school, I got upset. I had an instructor. I took her twice, once for American Renaissance and once for like the American Gothic or something. I don't know. And I got a B twice. My only B's in grad school.
You should have asked her out. She wanted to do you.
She was really pretty.
She would have totally done you, dude. You really blew that one. You blew that one, Barnett.
Dr. Huber.
So you did your 4 years, and somewhere in there you're like, I think I'm going to teach.
Yeah.
There's a street in Weatherford called Huber. Anyway, go ahead. Wonder if it was named after
Dr. Huber.
Yeah,
I don't know. Honestly, I was writing that term paper about said professor. I was writing the final, like...
You did a term paper about your professor?
No, it's not a term paper. It was a... How do I get academic on this? It's just a literary analysis.
Okay.
But it was the final paper.
A synopsis. That sounded good. Let's just
ignore
that.
A lot deeper than synopsis. Yeah. I mean, you had to like write about reading a certain book through a lens. So reading post-traumatic stress within Moby Dick, Ishmael telling the story through like with a post-traumatic stress lens and just breaking stuff down like that. She gave me a B on it. But yeah, I'm outside of typing, I pull up Google or whatever and look at all of the English teaching positions, in the metro. Several, but a lot of them needed more experience. And
I think that would be tough, man.
And just to be certified. Because at the time, I was English creative writing. I wasn't English education. So I wasn't a certified teacher.
Which in Oklahoma, now you don't have to be because...
valid question to ask. I swear I was going to point that out earlier. So I'm certified now.
A
real teacher?
No, I'm certified
now. So you started out as an emergency certificate?
Yeah.
Wow.
I look at Elk City randomly. I looked at, Weatherford, all kinds of places. I look at Elk City, they have an opening.
So for our listeners and viewers who do not live in Oklahoma, kind of explain what the deal is around the emergency teacher certificates. Explain how terrible Oklahoma's education is. Gosh,
If you have a four-year degree, it's getting better. I'll acknowledge that. Still a long way to go.
Yeah.
But if, say you have a four-year degree in whatever, from accredited university, you have a bachelor's. You can apply for a teaching position. And then the district itself applies for, I'm not a certified teacher. The district applies for a certified teacher. That's what they call it. Emergency certified.
Yeah.
And so you have 1 year, your emergency cert lasts for 1 year.
So within that time,
time frame, you have to take all the tests. And so I didn't my first year.
Of course you didn't.
That would have been
because I knew Josh Barnett. I don't want to incriminate myself. One, I'm still finishing my master's. I was taking on soccer, junior high soccer, junior high football, AP.
Yeah, because you're not just teaching, you're coaching. Yeah.
And finishing my master's.
Chad puts in a big old chaw of some freaking red man.
So
it's daddy's medicine.
First time I tried that, I was like 13 at the cell barn.
Oh, I think we all had that.
I saw it on the ground. I was like, I'm going to try that.
It's like when grandpa gives you that first dip because he knows you're going to get sick and then you won't want to do it. That worked opposite for me. I took that thing and I was like, this is awesome. And now here we are.
I think I tried mine first time when I was about 8 years old. I did exactly that. I swallowed my first big mouthful of slobber, puked. Ugh. And then about 30 minutes later, I was like, I really liked the taste of this. And that was it, man. So anyway, go ahead, Barnett.
No, I mean, I knew that a district could apply at least twice for the emergency cert. I had really good observations. Oklahoma's in the teacher shortage that it's, that's in. I kind of justified it.
Yeah.
Oh, also my first year on top of all that, senior class sponsor. So
yeah,
like
wait a minute, what's that?
Basically the faculty within the senior class.
You're the big brother of the senior
who
class.
Helps helps with organizes prom, after party, any type of senior fundraisers, any type of senior events.
So the president of the class actually doesn't do those duties, because when I was in high school, that was Suzanne Berryoff.
That's what they're starting to do now, because when I get thrown kind of into this position.
And let's take responsibility away.
I've been putting it on them. Like Jordan Deason's the class president this year, and she's, I'm smarter at knowing to delegate and what to delegate, than I was even a year ago.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, I know Jordan can do this. I don't have to worry about this. Like, get it done. She's got her class officers and a committee. Pretty much if they ran for class officer and they didn't win, they can serve on a committee. So they can come to meetings, stuff like that. Still be involved.
Right.
So this is your third or fourth year teaching?
This is my third year.
Okay. Yeah. So this year, obviously we haven't talked about this much yet.
Oh my gosh.
How have you been navigating it? And you guys all already know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I'm honestly like, at first I was like, I'm navigating this really easily. This is easy.
Is it split up into like two parts, like half video, and then for the people that are actually coming to school, or is it different times, or is there a camera running while you're just having your normal class?
A little bit of everything that you.
So it's just it's a cluster F.
Yeah, a little bit. We're learning. I mean, we're learning how to and trying to learn how to make. Because the thing that I think people are slowly realizing is every class is different.
Yeah.
I teach English, senior English. Every class hour itself has a totally different dynamic.
English is a very individual.
You know, like you could try, take Dara's class, for instance. Dara's class is very like, I don't know what side of the brain it is, right side.
Right side creativity. Is supposed to be the creative side. Yeah.
They're very right brained. Whereas the class before them is very left, you know, and it's so like.
So what's the left side?
That's very, your mathematical side. Yeah, practical. Yes. That's you. You are a left brained person.
Yeah.
But you're also creative, but the way you go about everything, Chad, is very left brained.
I analyze the shit out of my creativity. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Instead of going with the flow. Like, I feel like right brained people are able to just subject themselves to whatever's happening and just let it happen. So if Bill Cosby was ever in the same room with me, I would be screwed. Literally.
That's probably why you chew tobacco, because it helps stimulate both sides. Like when you're like doing, say you're studying and you're left brained and you want to write a paper, well, do something like chew sunflower seeds or.
Well, it says that chewing gum while you do something actually increases your focus.
To stimulate both sides.
Huh. I never knew that.
Which, you know, everybody has their own little nervous tick that they do. I grind my teeth, Chad.
Yeah.
I don't know what Chad does, but Chad's just perfect. I guess perfect that's the thing.
I don't know what my nervous tick is.
You're perfect.
So we're in the middle of it. So you're also coaching right now, right? Or so are you in off season right now for soccer or what do you do? What all sports do you?
I only do senior class now. I only do varsity soccer now.
Varsity soccer.
Yeah.
So are you the head coach?
I'm the boys coach.
Are you hoping to, so you are the head boys coach?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to make it like there's two teams. Coach Felton is the girls coach. Coach Rhonda Merrifield was the coach for the longest time. She retired with this last group, and Coach Felton, who's been there for a little while, you know, is coaching the girls. She's been self-isolating. Vaughn had a kid. She was making sure that she, you know, wasn't going to have anything. So I've been the coach for all of off season. So we've been going, we've been getting like 5 a.m. workouts in Tuesday, Thursdays. So
hey, man,
we slowed that off just because of, you know, numbers going up, and I just want kids to be able to go to school. And
look out for the Big Elk Football Day Mexico this year. Yeah,
we're going to get scarves that say Elk City, we are football.
FUTBOL.
Please. God, please. I'll give you $5.
I'm telling
you,
it makes them so mad. Like, just call it soccer.
Yeah, man.
It is not. It's football.
It's football. There's an Italian exchange student.
Oh, really?
He came out and played with us today.
Has he got them skills?
He'll be good. He'll help
Bellissima.
Us. Yeah, he'll help us. Yeah. I wish he'd stay for 2 years. But
you call him Cristiano?
Call him Nico.
Nico.
Because that's his name?
Because it's Nicholas.
Because you're respectful and that's his name.
But Nico, you know, our American sound system, we're like, no, it's Nico.
So just, what do you...
I'm calling you Nick.
So what's the most difficult thing in your life right now? If you could... I don't know, make one area of your life better with everything that's going on. Cause dude, you, like teachers are already in a tough enough position. You're a babysitter, you're a coach, you're all these things. Now it's ridiculous. So if you could change one thing or improve one thing right now,
you're going to laugh. But it's
okay. We do a lot,
but
of
it's going to, it's going to be to pause this. Cause I have to pee really, really bad.
That's fine.
And that gives
you
me,
go pee to make time. Your life better.
That's fine, because Chad and I, we're professionals at the radio type stuff, so you go ahead and do that. Well, so let's talk about Josh while he is not in here. Chad, what do you think so far about this interview? Do you think he's doing all right?
Well, I think that he needs stimulation, because clearly he doesn't have enough right now. I don't know when his day starts. He's not even qualified to maintain.
It's got to be early.
It ain't too early, because he's fucking off with us in the morning.
He's got to start his day as early or earlier than we do. If you think about it, you know, the first bell rings at 8:10.
I don't know.
Our show starts at 7.
I mean,
but he's doing 5 a.m. workouts. So
he's doing 5 a.m. workouts.
You and me get up about 4 in the morning, right?
I guess. Yeah. Between 4 and 4:30, I guess. So I suppose he goes over there in that gym over there.
Yeah. So I guess it's about the same, except he's dealing with children.
So he's got students at 5 in the morning over there?
Yeah, they do workouts. Like Elk City is very big on their sports, man. Like, you have morning workouts where you come in at 5 o'clock, lift weights. All sports meet at different places. Band meets before.
I went in that weight room last week, by the way. Oh, it's killer, man.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, whenever I was in high school, the stinking cross-country team used to run 10 miles before the first bell even rang, and then they would do it again after.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Did everything come out already?
Yes, yes. I tried to make a super strong stream, so yeah. I would finish
quicker.
You're
just making me feel bad about me.
How's your pH level sitting right now? Pretty good?
Yeah, good. I'm drinking the alkaline water.
Make sure you keep that mic close to you.
Yeah, alkaline water, so.
Yeah, oh, that's good.
Yeah, well, screw you, because I have nonstop prostate issues. Sometimes I have to hover over the commode and play Let's Make a Deal with that f***er so I can pee.
We didn't forget the question like you were hoping we would when you went to go pee. Like, so what is the biggest challenge, or what is the one thing, if you could change, that you would change?
Like
right
about
now,
myself?
Or improve? No, just about the teaching situation during COVID. Yeah, okay.
Teaching is stressful right now, you know? Yeah. So
also, you are an outlet. You are a direct outlet to all these kids who are also going through something which is unprecedented. Yeah. So, you've got the inside scoop on stuff that maybe kids don't feel comfortable talking about with their parents.
And I think maybe, oh gosh, some adaptability on a larger scale, I guess.
You're saying that would make your life easier or what?
He hasn't got to his point yet, Jeff.
I mean, we're talking about like the school system, right? Like education
I mean, what do you see with your experience as a teacher right now during COVID? Because this is an unprecedented thing.
Honestly, like, you know what Khan Academy is, right?
No. You don't know what Khan Academy is? Khan Academy?
K-H-A-N.
Jail?
No, Khan Academy.
Oh, Genghis Khan?
Well, yeah, that's
okay. Like war tactics?
Khan Academy is an online free like learning website that you can learn anything. Do you know who Dylan Albert is?
Yeah.
He taught himself programming.
Of course
on Khan Academy, and he just got his master's from Auburn in computer science.
Wow.
He taught himself. It's just a website you go to. You pick what you want to learn. Languages.
That's pretty cool that there's that availability. I mean, if you're compelled to want to learn something, I guess
that's how education has to be. Like, if the kid doesn't want to learn about the American Renaissance writers, but they can they're proficient in English like language skills, and they're, you know, they can spell and their typing is decent. Why force that kid, you know, to read the American Renaissance?
How
writers?
Can we better tailor the curriculum to the individual?
Keep it how
find identify their strengths and really invest in it. You know,
like for instance, No Red Ink is the program that I use for virtual stuff. And it's just it does different exercises, whether I want to focus on grammar or writing. I like to focus on writing because I'm a writer. I'm biased towards it. So I make these kids write a lot. They probably hate me for it. But I make them write.
You're a writing teacher.
Yeah. Right.
What do they think they're going to do when they go in your class?
But the first thing they do when they create their profile is it asks them different interests. Like, what movies do you like? So say you pick Shrek, and then if you're going through grammar stuff, it'll work in like sentences about Shrek and Donkey.
To keep you engaged. I like that, man.
I'm sitting here going, I wonder how many students were like, please don't make us write about Bend It Like Beckham.
Yeah, you know, it's the same type of data collection that these marketing agencies are using for Facebook stuff. You know, let's collect your cookies and let's figure out how we can best treat you.
Yeah,
you know?
if we don't have, like, obviously I don't want to go overbearing and, you know, go over someone's own personal privacy. The right of privacy.
You know, but doesn't the state kind of strong arm you into... You have to teach some of this stuff because these kids have to achieve this certain thing on the core curriculum testing and all this bullshit.
Yeah. They have their skills, which if you go and read the skills, you know, I'm only talk about English, you know, be able to maybe not compare and contrast. It's a lot of it now is analyzing. Can a kid analyze and say an advertisement? Can they see how an advertisement is trying to convince them, to persuade them to buy the product, to buy Dr. Pepper over Coke?
Exactly.
Okay.
But see, that's awesome though.
And that's just one skill. But they have skills that, you know, you grade them on, you know, the old school grade system. That'd be a good way to get rid of,
right,
to make things better. A through F is, it's not, if a kid tries and they still get Fs, that does nothing but like,
yeah,
it just cements that I'm an F student.
You got to maximize the potential in one area or another. You can't just be like, oh, well, just fail them. Well, I guess it's hopeless. You have to identify some type of strength because everybody has one. It doesn't matter if you're not, like, even if you're immobile, you're a quadriplegic, there is something you can offer the world. You know,
look at Stephen Hawking. You can type on the thing like Stephen Hawking. That's what he was really good at that.
Like George Clooney. Sorry.
I don't know. I guess that would be one thing, just an acceptance of adaptability within education, because we have to reform education. We've been setting in rows since the 1800s.
Yeah, that's never seemed productive to me. No. Why can it not be
my first
people
year,
sit in like a crescent shape?
That's what we did. Yeah. My first year. And we call that Socratic seminar. And that's what you do in these creative writing classes. So you can see everybody, you can talk better, it opens discussion. I tried it my first year, but you know, my class is too small and my numbers are too big. So just,
you know, man, dude,
fitting the bodies in.
So your life is just almost exclusively teacher. What's outside of teacher and, well, but
coaching is a full-time job, man.
No, it's soccer. In the fall, before COVID started, in the fall, we were going to have a competitive team to play in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Then COVID hit and we weren't sure if there was going to be a season up there. So we just didn't register. Well, like the biggest tournament, the Turkey Shootout, is November 6th. And I think we're going to try to put a under-18 boys team together.
Just kind of like a hand.
But we're going to have to use like eighth graders. So there's going to be eighth graders getting bullied by, you know,
that's good experience like though, 18, man.
It will
that's
be
good experience.
You know, I mean, it's the biggest tournament ever. Just on entry fees alone, they get like $50,000 to $60,000.
Man,
just on entry fees. The club itself,
is there much of a booster club behind the soccer team at all? Because
the high school team, absolutely
there is.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Chris and Jeff Waters.
Yeah.
Their
son
Alex.
He just graduated last year. He's talented
and he's a soccer guy.
Yeah.
So when I got here, they had it going pretty well. You know, already going.
Yeah.
And they've done an excellent job. Now Lori Cloud is the president. Mm-hmm. Her son is Nike. He plays.
He's the kicker. Yeah, he's the kicker on the boys' football team. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Not the girls' football team, but the boys' football team.
Not the Powder Puff team.
Yeah.
It's just the football team.
Yeah, exactly.
The American football team.
Yeah. Man, I feel so bad. I feel so bad for him too, man. He's a pretty skinny kid, tall and lanky. Mm. And he's a really good kicker, man. He can boot that punting it. He can boot it into the end zone almost every single time, as long as the wind is either in his favor or neutral. He can get it into the end zone every single time. But he attempted a 42-yard field goal a couple games ago in Elk City, man. And he was so close.
Was he?
He was just under the goal post. I felt so bad
Bethany.
For that kid. It was the Bethany game.
I missed the first little bit. I don't even remember what I was doing.
It's always exciting when you see a high school kid kick a 40-plus yard field goal, you know? And I was really cheering for him. Man, Nike, I hope you're not listening to this until at least you turn 18 or so, but proud of you, bro.
Hey, has there ever been a day or a week or something happened that made you think, I can't do this shit anymore?
What's the hardest part about your job, dude?
Yes. Okay. The hardest part about my job is honestly, it's trying to convince the kids to buy in to like a go-getter. Like you got a, you already got a semester of your life taken away from you. So why would you not?
That's
like
the thing,
see, like
man.
Why would you not seize the moment?
You
and
have
I'm so
to
guilty about
you
it
have
too,
to
though.
Screw up though to realize how important that is, and that's the whole thing. Like people like me and you, we procrastinated and we didn't worry about the things we should have worried about until it was too late, and then we understood the importance of it. You know, like me, I didn't start reading, I didn't start like making an effort to go figure out things until I was already out of college.
Yeah.
You know, and if I had had that motivation and that desire to absorb knowledge and stuff when I was in school, oh my God, dude. And now I'm 30 years old. My brain's not going to develop no more. I'm not going to learn any languages.
And oh, just, whatever. You can learn a language. You can learn a language.
Anytime I can lean on, scratch and sniff, I still just, whatever I can get from this, I'm good with that.
Yeah, he definitely reads Playboy for the articles.
Well, hey, everybody honestly, needs a little culture in their lives.
Yeah, you know, when you found your first Playboy, you had to read the article.
You know, I get a firsthand experience on just how much of a drain teaching can be, you know, because there is just, you know, you're salaried, right? And so let's presume that your salary is reasonable pay for 50 hours a week. You're way beyond that every week.
Yeah.
So my oldest daughter's home right now and all she cares to do is lay on the couch. She got 2 days off and she is flat ass exhausted, man. And so
she's mentally and probably emotionally exhausted as well.
I mean,
you know, at least a factor like the mental exhaustion, you know, absolutely. These kids, cause I try to tell my soccer kids, cause I had to quarantine for 2 weeks. I'm like, guys, you cannot just sit on the couch, you know, but it's just so easy. You get a screen in your face.
Oh yeah. Or the Xbox.
And the next thing you know,
and
2 hours
or
later.
Or the Rope and Drew podcast, Jack Wagon podcast. You know, it happens, man.
You're going to have to forgive me here. I've got a weird thing going on right now.
I don't forgive people.
Like
ever.
This part of my hand is just frozen to the extent I'm like trying to work the numbness out of it. I mean, like,
forgiveness is for pussies, Chad.
What do you mean frozen?
And naps. It's, I don't know. It's
like
a strange,
the muscle itself.
No, like it's cold.
Oh,
real
wow.
Cold.
You got a pinky cramp, bro?
It's pinky plus
I
this.
Get bad
I don't know what's going
too,
on right now, to be honest with you, man. So I'm over here playing with my hand and I'm making eye contact with Barnett the whole time. I just want to make it clear that this is not any kind of a weird message I'm trying to send. Literally,
I was tapping my foot. Yeah, so I don't know.
I don't know what's going on.
Well, right Chad, the fortunate thing is we have just about wrapped up the entire hour of the Jack Wagon podcast. So if you need to tend to your hand, we can, man. I think, you know, we might have to get Josh back on here to talk about some maybe past military stuff. There's just too much, man.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems is you can't really get into...
You know,
enough.
The most amusing thing about him is that it's fun, the back and forth that we get in the mornings. We were talking about this while you were doing your deal over there.
Yeah.
We were talking about your schedule. So you get up at what are you up? Like 4
my
in the
body,
morning?
My body clock wakes me up. 4:45.
And so
I'm up.
You pretty much fall out of bed, throw some gear on, and then hit the gym. Is that what you're doing?
Tuesday, Thursdays, we go to the gym. Tuesday, we work legs. And then Thursday, it's like a total body.
And you've got students in there with you, right?
Yeah. We haven't gone in a couple weeks just to stay, you know, outside of, try to stay outdoors, which we'll probably switch to. We'll have to switch to like a calisthenic type of, so we can social distance and try to, if nothing else, I'm trying to do as much as we can to be prepared, but also, I mean, do the whole social distance thing.
Well, it's kind of fun having you back and forth in the morning. So I don't know.
I love it.
I don't know how busy you are.
Yeah. So
when we're on air, I'm like,
when y'all are on air,
what is he doing? I know what he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah. What are you doing calling us right now?
My biggest question is, what time do y'all start?
7 o'clock.
Okay. See, yeah. I thought it was 6.
It used to be. When we first started, which was about 3 years ago, almost exactly 3 years ago, 2017 is when we started.
Wow. Yeah,
it was 6 to 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I started doing sales for the radio station, and it required me get out of here before 10 o'clock because it was just impossible to do otherwise. And then it shortened from 6 to 9, and then it went from 6 to 9 to 7 to 9 because me and Chad both did not have the energy. Yeah. I was stretched thin, and I could not wake up and get in here. And
usually going to and from the gym. Mm. Well, from the gym and like in the mornings. And
when
then
you call in.
And then that's usually when I'm going. So my first hour is middle school athletics. Which that's again, that's another
so much
thing.
So much
and
new
so
testosterone.
That's at the junior high.
Yeah.
You know. So I have time to drive to the junior high and then drive to the high school after. So that's usually when y'all catch me.
What is it that draws you to us?
Definitely our musk.
Why do you love us so much?
It's the musk.
It's the musk. You can smell us through the speakers. That's brutal.
I don't know. Everything, honestly.
It's
our highly intellectual rhetoric. About
yes.
Our miscellaneous different topics has got to be what it is.
Yeah, the tangents are fun, definitely, because then like my own brain will be like,
yeah, I was
going
to say, I was hoping you'd say my bunny holes.
The bunny holes.
Just to prove a point to Chad, but I honestly didn't expect you to say my rabbit holes.
Hey, we do need to wrap this thing up.
Yeah.
Josh Barnett, thank you so much for coming
for
in. And you got to do this again with
us.
Yeah, for sure. We'll actually get into something. Well, at least we got to introduce him.
Yeah, yeah.
You are actually a reoccurring character on our show. So if we were Howard Stern, you would be like part of the Whack Pack, except you're not, you know, mentally handicapped in any way.
Debatable.
Yeah, yeah.
Could be debatable.
You could be kind of like our strange, you know.
The guy on the couch.
You could be that or the limo driver.
Ronnie the limo driver.
Ronnie,
yeah.
Or who was
Ganji, there's Sal, Richard.
Who's the midget, though?
The midget? Yeah. Which one? There's multiple ones.
Oh.
Beetlejuice is the...
Don't remember him.
Oh, please don't make me Beetlejuice.
Come on, man. You can be Beetlejuice, dude.
Please don't make me
He's the one with the tiny head.
Yeah.
But he's like a midget, but he also has like a smaller head. You know how midgets have like big heads?
They call him Beetlejuice.
He's Beetlejuice. He's Beetlejuice, dude. What do you mean?
I didn't know about that one.
Come on, dude.
Oh, well, whatever. You can be,
but anyway,
you can be any one of them that you
anyway,
want.
Anyway, we got one of the main contributors to our morning radio show introduced.
Yeah.
So now you can come back on and people have some context and they know who you are, man.
Yeah, that'd be.
He's part of the Jack Pack now.
Yeah. Awesome. There you are. You're in. That doesn't mean you're going to get a...
I better get a handshake.
no tattoos of tears by your eye, though.
No. Let's sign off on that one.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
The Jack Wagon Podcast is a Courtesy Clap production.